headed to the game tonight. Excited to see Clay back, what the organization has planned for him. It's going to be a who's who. So how many people from 95.7 Gamer Code are going to be there not doing anything?
I would assume Daryl the Guru Johnson, because he will not miss a moment to strut around with a media credential when there's a who's who in the building. Wow. I love you, Goo, but you know it's true.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Did I lie?
Well, no, I think so.
Steiny will cut out early. He'll have a couple of beers, you know, and he'll cut out early. Exactly.
Just drive-bys.
I'm assuming Evan will be there, right? Evan will be in the building.
Just drive-bys.
Lucas will be in the building.
Just hate.
I bet the boss, Matt, will be there in the building.
This is some high-level haterate.
Is Whitley going to be in the building?
Yeah, she does a lot of work for our digital team. She actually works.
You in the building?
No.
Bonte will be in the building. What about Sam Lubman?
I will be watching at home on my couch.
Wow, that's a shocker. I would have bet my bottom dollar Sam Lubman would have snuck in the Chase Center. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1 San Francisco, Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Now let's bring in an NBA champ, one of my favorite sitters here with the Warriors. He's as cool as they come. And let me tell you, when it comes to fashion, I don't think anybody dresses better than Zaza Pachulia. I really don't, man. He's got the swag. He joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Zaza, Mr. Nothing Easy Pachulia, what's up, my man? Good morning.
Good morning. Top of the morning to you guys. How we doing?
Oh, we're doing good, man. We're happy that this day finally came, and I'm happy that Clay's going to receive the love that he deserves, as he's a four-time champ, of course, one of the most iconic Warriors we've ever seen. But Zaza, when you came over in free agency, you became a member of the Golden State Warriors. We, as fans, we all noticed that you and Clay clicked right away. Right away. What was it about Clay when you joined the Golden State Warriors, when you first met him? Why did you guys click so well?
Well, he's unique personality, Bonte. He's so authentic. You know, sometimes, yeah, you're going to see, you know, you ask him questions and he's going to respond total different answer. Nothing has to do with the question, right? Sometimes he's going to be later in practices. Sometimes he missed the practices, you know, and then next day he dropped 60, right? So my thing is he's so authentic. He's not playing. He's pure. He's pure heart. I just love the guy. You know, and he's a professional. He loves the game. He's always takes it seriously. You know, that's the type of teammate you want to have. And, of course, my personal side, Bonte, you know, and, you know, for the big man, it's important to have a great shooters. And, you know, he would make me look good out there with me setting the screens for him. And he would just make those threes. That bond came right away. So love the guy. He's awesome. And then I'm so excited for him, actually, tonight. He's going to come play first time at Chase. It's not going to be easy. As Big Zaza says, nothing easy. Yeah. But, you know, it's going to be very emotional, I'm pretty sure, even though he sounded pretty calm at the interview after the last day game, after the last game. But, you know, I'm excited for tonight because we're going to show him everyone from, you know, from the Warriors, you know, employees to his old teammates to Dub Nation. We're all going to show him love that he deserves, and it's going to be a celebration.
What was something that surprised you when you met him as a teammate and you got to know him on the court, off the court, personality-wise, demeanor? Because I think, you know, from afar, we learn so much more when we work with someone every single day. And from afar, we can make judgments that are completely wrong. What was something that maybe you learned about him?
Well, you know, we all have our own personalities, right? And, you know, one thing actually that shocked me was how shy he is actually off the court. Yeah, that was something he, you know, you expected from the probably rookie or youngster, but, you know, he was already late 20s, and how shy he was after experiencing all on and off the court. You know, he was pretty shy, so that was kind of surprising. But like I say, we all have, you know, strengths and weaknesses. I don't want to call it weakness to be shy, but, like, I'm pretty sure he would have enjoyed more off the court life if he was not a shy.
You know, What is something that fans don't know enough about Klay Thompson, other than being shy? Or actually, no, well, let's switch that up. What did you know us about Klay when he embraced his stardom in the latter half of his... Because all of a sudden, he becomes a shy guy, Zaza. He's a champion. But all of a sudden, we start seeing his personality. Toaster Klay, China Klay. He's going on tour in China, having a lot of fun. The scaffolding Klay in New York City. What did you notice about him once he embraced his stardom in the latter half of his career with the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was not, he just doesn't know how to play the games. And he doesn't play games. You know, just like whatever, this high authenticity, the word you use, I mean, that to me, if somebody asked me like to describe the Klay with one word, that's probably the word I would use, right? So, and you know, he has the personality too, and he has a sense of humor as well. And when you combine, I think it's a great combination of values and you know characteristics he has, Vontae. And then he's so caring when he comes to, he's a winner. Like, I'm telling you, like when I was playing, I didn't have to worry about Klay missing games, or you know, there were a couple of times he got hit or he fell on the floor pretty bad. I knew he was going to get up and kept playing, and he was not going to leave the court. So, and there was a trust factor on the court as well. I mean, you knew he was going to give you his 100%, and I mean, to be loved this much as he is, and of course we have Steph and Draymond as well, but since we're talking about the Klay, it doesn't come that easy, you know, and you know, it's constant every day proving the fans that you're there to represent them, you're there to get them the win and make them proud. And I think for those 13 years, he did it. He did it in the best ways possible. Mm-hmm. Always a pro, always was caring and loved, you know, loved, appreciated, you know, the support from outside. And, you know, when you bring all these things together, Vontae, you know, that's what then, you know, you put yourself in a situation where you're going to get a statue, you're going to get the numbers retired, you're going to get the love that he's going to get tonight, and yeah, you'll be missed, and you'll be never forgotten.
Zaza, I feel like nobody's been able to kind of like pin him down in terms of his outside interests. And we know he's got the boat, right? And we know he'll do the tours in China and whatnot.
Well, it's hiking, Shasky.
If he wasn't a basketball player and you had to guess, what do you think he would have done?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I think actually when he got injured, and, you know, him and I, we were talking a lot and kind of brainstorming. So I could tell he was getting bored, right, without basketball. And, you know, that was, yeah, rehab and et cetera. But, you know, he wanted some activity, some action. And, you know, him and I, we were talking about, like, says, Klay, what do you want to do? Like, you know, what would you be passionate about besides basketball? So, you know, first thing came out with the video games, if you guys remember. So maybe he was going to be a 2K player. Who knows? But that's the first thing came out. Like, you know, so how about like me getting into the video games? That way I don't have to move around. And he got into it. And it seems like, you know, he enjoyed it for a minute. I don't think he plays as much as he used to when he was the hurt and going through the rehab. But maybe, you know, maybe still in the sports because love of the game he has, and now love of the sports overall he has. You know, he's pretty good at golfer as well. He watches baseball, obviously, because of his brother. You know, he watches football as well. I've seen him, you know, throwing some passes during the practices or after the practices. So, with the football, not the basketball, with the football. So, you can tell he's an athlete, you know, so for sure he was going to do some kind of sports.
You know, Festus just joined us, and he said he was shocked at Klay's dance moves. Now, have you ever got out in Klay? Can you attest to what Festus just said, that Klay Thompson can actually boogie on the dance floor?
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's funny you saying about that. I remember in Cleveland when we won the 2017 championship, we were together. Obviously, we were spread out, you know, throughout the Morton Steakhouse restaurant that we shut it down. It was a lot of people. But, so, you know, Klay and I, Klay's family, my family, were right next to each other. So I remember we had this circle, and every person had to go in the circle and show their moves. Don't ask me about my moves. It was horrible, but maybe not. But, you know, I remember the Klay brought some surprise. The Klay surprised lots of people, so he can definitely dance.
How hard is this for the guys on the team, though, like Steph and Dre today? Because I think we keep saying it's going to be hard for Clay, and it is. Right. But how hard is it for some of those guys as well? Like, you got to play a basketball game, but also you do care about this individual. How difficult is it from the Warrior perspective?
Well, that's a professional, Jeff. You know, like, this guy's not young. They've been through a lot. And, of course, there are so many players who are part of this, dynasty and part of the success in championship years, and their last came back, and luckily and gratefully, I was the one who got amazing love when I got my ring, when I came with the Detroit. And, you know, those are the days and moments and, you know, seconds that you're never going to forget. Very emotional. But, you know, Clay's in a different boat. I mean, it's just different level, let's be honest. You know, I think these guys have some kind of experience, but like this magnitude. You know, for someone like Klay Thompson to come back and just to treat him as an opponent and play the game, I'm sure it's not going to be that easy for our guys, even for Coach Kerr, right? Can you imagine? He's always been in your team and you drew the plays for him. You're thinking about how to get Klay to open shots and the good quality shots, and now you have to guard him and you have to think about how to defend this guy. So, it's not going to be a normal day, I'm pretty sure, but end of the day, we are professionals. You know, expectation is for us to go out there and perform and try to get a win. Our team has been playing really, really well. Amazing road trip we had. And we want to, you know, keep going, keep rolling, because we talked about at the beginning of the season how important it is to have a great start. That way we can build on it. And, you know, last year, for example, where we're trying to, you know, make it and, you know, get in the picture, just didn't work as well. There's so many good teams, so many talented players out there. So we're talking about have a good start. So, you know, we're going to try to win today's game. And by the same time, I think that before the game, you know, from the point where Bob's going to enter in the Chase Center, the way Clay's going to be, we're going to show him lots of love. And, you know, even during the game, we're going to salute to Clay. Obviously, we have some surprises and we got some moments for him to really celebrate and, you know, fans show the appreciation to this guy, what he has done to this franchise and to this city.
Zaza Pachulia, Warriors front office assistant here on the Morning Ross on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. A couple more for you, Zaza. What was it like for you? Because I know you played on Orlando, Milwaukee, Atlanta, but what you spent a long time in the ATL. What was it like going back to Atlanta when you're a member of the Milwaukee Bucks, going back for the first time to the ATL after you had some iconic moments? Of course, nothing easy came from Atlanta as you took the Celtics to seven games. What was it like going back to Atlanta for the first time as an opponent?
It was brutal. It was very difficult, probably the hardest moment I remember. I'm never going to forget it, those couple days, actually. And, you know, by the way, every player is taking that kind of moment differently. You know, for some of them, motivates and, you know, they drop 30, 40, 50. You know, for some amazing players actually show up and, you know, end up with a single digit, you know, in scoring. My situation was I was very nervous. I was very excited. And for some reason, we ended up in Atlanta two nights before the game because we were on a road trip. And I remember I had zero sleep in those 48 hours. Wow. Zero. I couldn't sleep. You know, it was so emotional, you know, with entering in the arena and, you know, starting with ushers. And, you know, 8 years is like half of my NBA career. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine the attachment and, you know, relationships and, you know, feeling I have towards that city and every single employee and every single player. So it was very difficult. And I remember I had, you know, pretty rough game and going back to airport after the game. And as soon as I sat on my seat on the plane, I just crashed it. I fell asleep right away. Because I was exhausted. I was exhausted emotionally. I was exhausted. And my feelings were all over the place. And I was just glad it was over. But it was just me. You know, like I said, different players say different. There's nothing right or wrong. I mean, I don't think any player should be judged because of the performance, right? So you're not part of the organization anymore. You're not part of the team. You know, it's very difficult moments, and you should not be judging anyone until you get to the situation, because, like I say, different people react different ways.
How difficult was it for you? I mean, you're not going to speak on behalf of Clay, but just navigating all of this, new team, coming back home, like all of that stuff with your family, right? You know, like you've seen things said online, seen things at podiums, and they have their feelings, and they want to speak on your behalf. And I know he doesn't have a wife and kids, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have an extended family, like his brothers and his dad and his mom and all that stuff. How difficult was it for you to navigate the family aspect of all of this?
Jesse, one thing helped me, actually, in those kind of situations, that I'm not sad it's over. I'm glad it happened. And, I always look at it that way, right? Where we're lucky and we're grateful to be experiencing what we experience. And, you know, we're grateful for the people who showed us some love, especially someone being from different country or overseas. You know, it felt like home. And that's feeling was because of the people you were surrounded with. So you're very great, should be very grateful for that. Yep. But at the same time, life goes on. Life is beautiful. You know, life is great. And, you know, for Clay, he's still playing for an amazing franchise, for Dallas Mavericks. And I'm very familiar with the franchise. I played there before I joined the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
He's in great hands. I know J.K. really well. I know his coaching staff. I know Luka. From playing against each other in European championships. So he's in a great situation, and he has no reason not to be happy, right? And he should be grateful. That's how we should look at it. That's why I don't want to, you know, be sad about it, but I just want to celebrate and thank him for everything he has done for this franchise. And I always said that with you guys in previous interviews, one of the reasons I love this game of, you know, basketball is because of the friendships. And we're still friends, no matter what. Yes, during the 48 minutes, we're going to try to beat each other and, you know, win the game. But after the game, it's a friendship. I still talk to him. You know, I talked to him last night, right? So the friendship is the most powerful thing and most important thing. I don't know, because I'm only child and I grew up surrounded with amazing friends, but I'm pretty sure it's the same for you guys. Like, friendship is so valuable, and that's why I love this game. So, friendship is forever. Yeah, the ball going to stop bouncing at some point, obviously. You know, for some people, if they're lucky, they're going to play until 40. For some people, it ends early. But it doesn't matter. We have so much more, you know, life to live. And, nothing better than to live with an amazing friend.
Well, we can't wait for tonight, man. It's going to be emotional. All 18,000-plus fans get a Captain Clay hat. At one point, they're going to all take their hats off, the Captain Clay hat, to salute Clay Thompson. A great video tribute. Steph Curry's going to speak, and there's going to be many, many more surprises, as Zaza Pachulia just teased here on The Morning Roast. Zaza, I can't wait to see you later. And as you just said, it's a celebration of Clay Thompson. Nothing to be sad about. Life does move on, and we hope the best for him. But the Warriors are rolling right now, 80 to win. 8-2 through the first 10 games, coming off that great road trip. Zaza, you're the man. Always love talking to you, man, here on the roast. See you later, buddy.
See you guys tonight.
Thank you, Zaza. Zaza Pachulia with some great perspectives there. It's from D-Wright, Festus, Zaza Pachulia. Hopefully everybody enjoyed those interviews, and they all had different perspectives on when they came back. Now, Festus came back with Portland, and he was injured, unfortunately, but he got the video tribute. And look, he wasn't happy about having to move off to go to St. Warriors. What they built here, I mean, it's truly remarkable that players want to end their career with the Golden State Warriors. Growing up, Shasky, everybody wanted to leave the Warriors. They became all-stars after leaving the Warriors. Now everybody wants to stay, but great perspective from Zaza. He said he was a wreck going to Atlanta. He was a wreck, and I just wondered about Klay Thompson, what he's thinking at this moment right now as he's in his hotel room probably thinking, boy, he probably couldn't sleep tonight, Shasky.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about this from Klay's perspective, and I just... Not that he's angry at these guys, but I bet he's a part of him is, and I'm just, this is just how I would feel. A part of me would be like, damn, Steph and Dre are still there and I'm over here on this side. That's kind of weak, you know, like, and I, the more and more we talk about this and this day and everything, and I think it's a lot harder for Clay than it is for anyone else. And I know that people have their feelings on the last couple of years and how much that frames how they currently view Clay Thompson. They're entitled to their opinions. I'm just saying from his perspective, not that he's the quote unquote victim and that someone else did him dirty or whatever. Just like, damn, how They're still on the team. I'm not there. I thought we were going to have that storybook ending, and I thought I would have that storybook ending, and I'd be able to kind of finish it on my terms, and to not be able to do that. And man, this is really hard. I don't envy him in any way having to go through this. I know it was like, it'll be great. He'll get a reception. I'd be rife with anxiety. Personally,
how can you not be? Everybody is. I mean, how can you not be? How can you not be? I mean, there's no doubt he's going to feel anxious. He's going to get emotional. And to your point, like, I was just on our roster. And
exactly.
They let me walk. At the end of the day, we walked. We decided that, you know what? Let bygones be bygones. I'm moving on to Dallas. I don't want a role change. I don't want to have to shift my game and have a fluctuating role when I'm looking at guys. I've been here before. I was here right after Steph. It was me and Steph when Monte Ellis got traded. It was Steph who told Clay in the locker room after they traded Monte Ellis, hey, man, this is all us. This is our team now. Let's roll. And you enter Draymond Green. And when Festus was talking and Zaza was talking about the championships and everything, but when Festus was talking, I went back and started looking at that first playoff run, which made us fall back in love with the Golden State Warriors. Everybody. They beat Denver in six games.
Was George Karl coach of the year?
George Karl was coaching Iguodala, and they were mad at him. And then they took the San Antonio Spurs to six. And the front office, of course, I actually watched game one with me when they blew that big lead, and we're like,
Kent Bazemore managed Ginobili.
Steph had 44 points and 11 assists, and so I start thinking about that, and they won game two.
Harrison Barnes had 20 as a 19-year-old?
He was balling. But now all these memories are coming up here, and I'm thinking, damn, the chapter's almost ending with this core group. One of them's gone, and Klay Thompson. I didn't think Klay was going to be the first to leave. Nobody knew. I thought for sure Draymond would be the first to go for whatever reason.
Well, because he's volatile. I mean, let's just, you know, it's okay.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, it's okay.
Just because of some suspicions and everything like that, he just thought like it's not going to end well.
Yeah, exactly.
But Draymond stepped his game up, and he's off to a terrific start this season. But you think about that first run when it all started, and Klay and Steph and a young Dre and a young Festus, and Iguodala comes over the next year, and that was 13, 14 years ago. Time flies, Shasky. I just can't believe that we're getting to the end. We're closer to the end than we are at the beginning.
There seems to be so much more baked into the exit of Klay than there was Brandon Crawford, Madison Bumgarner,
Brandon Bell.
I mean, these are all guys that played on other teams.
Frank Gore,
absolutely. I feel like there's just way more baked into it for the fans in terms of, like, we're all, you know, trying to get a PhD in psychology and body language experts. And I don't know. I just feel like we're diving so deep on Klay Thompson over the last couple of years that I do think it's taken away from what he's done. I'm not saying it should. I'm saying it has. And it sucks that it has.
Well, you know.
And I'm sure I'm guilty of it. Like, talking every morning about it. And, like, I know that people say, Joe, you're being a hypocrite. I'll admit it. I am being a hypocrite.
You know, the last 2 years has been tough to discuss Klay Thompson because you're either on, hey, man, this guy's playing well, or, and I think back to going to Las Vegas. The Warriors had just beat the Phoenix Suns on a game Steph Curry 3-point shot. Great game. Saturday night, I'm flying to Vegas. I'm like, boy, I'm going to go watch the Niners win the Super Bowl now. And on the flight, the guy turns around and goes, you know, Clay's got to go. I'm sick of him. And I say this on the air all the time, but I wanted to slap the hell out of him. And I'm thinking, how can we talk about one of our legends like this? Did people talk about Dwight Clark like this in his heyday?
No.
When it was time to go, did they talk about T.O. like this or John Taylor? John Taylor, his last year, the 94 Super Bowl team, he was on that team.
But
nobody remembers.
I would say Jimmy Garoppolo is a fraction of impact for his organization to what Klay Thompson is. But I do think a lot of people talked about Jimmy Garoppolo, including this show, that way to a
that
degree.
That way, too. And he wasn't. And he's
I think
not
it's
even,
the modern sports fan.
It's the modern sports fan. But this is Klay Thompson with four championships.
I know.
And they hear some of the rhetoric over the last couple of years. And I get it. I get it because a lot of fans are not privy to the intel that you and I can receive on the inner workings of an organization. I'll freely admit, I know a lot more about what's going on with the Golden State Warriors than I openly talk about on this show. I can't do that. I risk my jobs here. But a lot of people are not privy to the intel on what's going on through a player, what's going on with a team, what's going on emotionally. So that's why maybe I've caped up for Klay a little bit, because it hasn't all been him.
There's been a lot of variables
on why the Warriors didn't go to the playoffs last year and why they flamed out in the second round against the LA Lakers the previous season.
Look, Bonte, I suggested that he may come off the bench. That's literally how I phrased it. And I became a Klay hater, right? So he's a very polarizing individual for a lot of people. And the mere suggestion of maybe him going to the bench, I immediately became persona non grata for a big chunk of Klay fans, which I get because he is a legend. Simultaneously, I never put everything on him as to why the team was losing. And I think people on the other side of the spectrum went way over the top, blaming him as the sole reason on why X, Y, and Z didn't work out and the team plateaued in a play-in game. And come on. Like, I think most reasonable people are like, dude, he's an all-time player. He is one of the greatest Warriors to ever play. Wow, we're so special. I want him to stay. Some things are going to have to adjust. And I just felt like, similar to Frank Gore, Frank Gore could never be the backup running back in San Francisco. He almost had to go so that the team could kind of move on. And I kind of feel the same way with Klay Thompson. I think both parties amicably needed a separation.
Well, especially after Klay, he started to come off the bench. Whether he was reluctant or not, he ended up coming off the bench. And we had that drop where I say, hey, look like the same on Klay to me. And he goes, hey, you know, it's a
same on Klay to me.
And then we could play the interview or play that little clip with Klay on the other side. But he started to embrace it. And he played well. But the team started scuffling a little bit. And next thing you know, Klay's back in the starting lineup because of the spacing that he provides. So there's a lot of things here. And I'm just glad that he'll get his love tonight. And then it's war. Once the ball gets tipped off, we want to beat Klay. You want to press him. You want to hopefully force him into a 3-15 night. But before tip-off, we'll show him his love here. By the way, don't miss the kickoff show this Sunday with Evan Giddings and Lorenzo Neal live 2 hours before the start of the game at the Hilton Hotel in Santa Clara. You know, Shasky, I haven't had the chicken tenders yet. I haven't had the great drinks at the Hilton. Maybe I'll do that this Sunday. Warriors are off. Maybe I'll go down and go check out the Seattle Seahawks and the best pregame show in the Bay Area, presented by Habba's Law. You've been wrong. Habba's Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabbasLaw.com. All right, what's coming up in the game brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Bobby in Los Altos will get you with some Klay memories, 888-957-9570. If you want to get in and share some memories, some love for Klay Thompson, go ahead. Or if you soured on Klay, I got no problem with taking your phone call. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll be right back. See you later, buddy.
Now, back to the morning roast.
Who cries on the basketball court? I mean,
no crying in basketball?
With Bonte and Shasky.
Love you some Big X to plug. See you later, buddy. Oh, yeah, I didn't know what I wanted to say. Goodbye. Sorry you get crossed up. Thanks
for
catching
that. Hey, bro, sometimes you get hung up on the rim. Klay in China.
Thanks for Spadoni.
He got hung up on the rim, remember?
He did get hung up on the rim. He did get hung up on
it. What happened?
The 360. What are you trying to hit? The 360? He was having a time in his life in China. Then he took Kevon Looney last year to China. They were both the Anta boys out there in China. Lou Dog came back, had too much of a good time in China.
You keep bringing up China and basketball players going over there, and I'm thinking of Cameron ripping LiAngelo Ball for stealing glasses China.
Dude, hey, man. When I covered the All-Star game in New York City, China had a big, they had like 100 million members coming from China, dude. They took over everything, right? And these guys are live streaming the All-Star game straight from Hong Kong, dude. I'm sitting next to them. They're live streaming the All-Star game while wearing Chicago Bulls beanies, Laker jerseys, and NBA scarves. It was like,
LeBron's
unbelievable.
On. Don't forget, LeBron is big LeBron, in China.
Dude, they were out there.
I don't know this.
Hey, dude, they were out there wearing suits with Warrior hats. I was like, bro, then Brazil had their contingency out there. I was like, man, basketball is big in China, man.
There's a tariff joke somewhere in here.
No,
I just don't know where.
Not
it
on
is.
This show. No,
I don't know
no,
where
no.
It
No, it's not. It's not a terrible
joke. Stop it.
No, you're not going to put I'm not associated with that, man.
No, it's
keep me
a
out
joke.
Of that one. Keep me out of that one. Man, Evan Giddings is in the building, man. So I was like, Evan, you look so sad. He's like, oh, I got to stay here at the studio. I was like, well, I need you. He's so depressed about being there at Thrive City. Evan, you'll be at the game later.
It's not like being the St. Mary's play-by-play guy, you know?
Well, you know, this is what happens when you get to taste a little big time, right? You get the St. Mary's gig. You get the Santa Clara Broncos. You cover some volleyball games. You got the ESPN mic flag. And you got to sit in the studio for Steiny and Coop.
That's like
and
you going from television with Mully and Festus to sitting in a studio with me.
No, it's not quite that dramatic. It's not that dark, quite of a drop off. A little drop off, not much. We're fine.
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
I'm shocked you're talking to me.
But for Evan, it's like calling AAA Yankee games.
Shocked you're talking to me.
Producing Goose is dying. You got to sit in the studio, man. You can't get some fresh air. You can't get some Phil's coffee. You can't see the big screen at Chase. You're just here.
It's a little cold, though. Like, this morning I woke up, it was like 45 degrees. A little icy.
Hey, Evan, you know
what's on my windshield.
Love. If we can't bust your balls on this show, then you don't belong on this
show.
It's
gross, bro.
This is crazy.
I got a theory in life. If I can't make fun of you and you can't make fun of me, then we can't be friends.
I'm kind
of
with you.
I'm not talking to Matt or Eric.
See, like back in the day, it used to be like now cap means like lying.
Right.
Back in the day, when you cap on somebody, it used to mean, you know, you're joking around. You're making, you're ripping, you're riffing.
What if Steph steals the show and drops 40 plus on the Mavericks?
I mean, that's entirely plausible.
What are we going to see on the court? That's what I want to know. What are we going to see on the court? We know about the love affair we're going to do before the game.
You want to know?
We kept the clay hats, but on the floor, I know Steph and Dre are chopping at the bit.
Well, I think. Quietly, Buddy Hield is flying under the radar, and he might have a monster game.
Well, Team Bahamas, Clay and Buddy, yeah. They're all part of Team Bahamas, and Chris DeMarco and Michael. So
their perimeter defense is sketch.
Who?
Dallas.
It's been a little faulty.
You know, and so I just think that, you know, you're going to have some opportunities matchup-wise to be able to do some things. I don't like the Kuminga matchup for this one tonight in terms of him getting to the rim because Lively and Gafford are, you know, they're great defenders at the rim and being able to funnel guys to them, you know, that makes them potent. But on the perimeter, I do believe they can be had. I'm very interested to see the Warriors tonight.
Yeah,
I do like outs. If you remove the clay aspect,
the matchup
is a really fascinating one. This has playoffs written all over it.
Andrew Wiggins is questionable with the lower back strain, and if he can't go, where does Steve Kerr go with his lineup? Does he go GP2, Steph, and D'Anthony Melton? Does he go D'Anthony Melton, Steph, and Jonathan Kuminga? Where does he go here? Where does Steve Kerr pick and choose with his lineup here to start off? Because you got Kyrie and Luka Doncic. And without Andrew Wiggins as a primary defender on Luka Doncic, you know, you're already going to have D'Anthony Melton on Kyrie. You have to believe that's the case. We may see right off the rip, if Wiggins does play. Hypothetically, he plays and he's good to go with the back and he's coming off a good game, 16, 8, and 5. He's guarding Luka, and you got D'Anthony Melton guarding Kyrie. Steph or Dre are going to be guarding Klay Thompson. You have to believe.
Yeah.
That's great. That's going to be fun. And in the cross matchups, who does Klay guard? Is he guarding Wiggins? Is he guarding Draymond? Is he guarding? Who is he guarding on
probably
the other end?
Draymond, so, right?
Might be Draymond Green.
You know?
It might be Dre. Maybe Clay's whispering, saying, hey, Dre, shoot it. And then Dre said, well, I shot 39.5% from three last year. And have you been watching? I've been shooting that thing this season. So this is the game within the game.
A Draymond Green 25-point performance would not be on my bingo card.
What if he drops 15? Would that be on the bingo card?
Well, no, he's been about, 12, 13 this year?
Well, no, he's only, the average is, say, 8.5 points a game.
I feel like the last six games has been higher than that. Maybe the first couple skewed
it. We had the three-game stretch where he scored in double figures, 14, 14, 18.
Okay.
Dude, he's down to 9, 6, and 8.
Oh, okay.
But the assist numbers, you know, 4, 6, and, you know, he's got 21 assists in his last three games, and he was dropping dimes the other night. His three-point shot. He had a really good road trip from three, Draymond Green. He was 8-4, that's 11, 16, 8-19 from three. Not bad for Draymond Green. Not bad. 42% in those five games on a road trip. So 42% from three for Draymond. That's not bad at all.
Oh, what uniforms are the Warriors wearing tonight?
Oh. Somebody pick that up. I've slipped on the uniforms.
Oh.
What's the NBA Cup, the Emirates NBA Cup? So maybe we're going to wear some special city edition uniforms.
Vontae, what is the Emirates NBA Cup?
It's the in-season tournament. And the winner gets to go to the Final Four is in Las Vegas. And there's money on the line for each player. What do they all win, $1 million? So the Emirates NBA Cup, which the Lakers won last season, and they hung a banner.
They absolutely did. But you don't want to win that because, obviously, if you win that, you're not going to win the NBA title. They're 0-1. Golden State Warriors will be wearing their statement editions, black jerseys. And the Dallas Mavericks will be wearing... God, I hate when the opposing team wears white. I don't know why, but it's just their standard white jerseys. Like,
Guru right on point with it.
What's he saying?
Statement edition. He's just sent us a jersey.
Oh, these are all right. Yeah, they're fine. Let me I like the ones from the year they won the championship with the bolt on the sideline.
Those are one of my favorite uniforms.
I think they should bring those exact ones back. But here's what I would say about the
shorts. I tried to buy the shorts. The shorts are sold out from day one.
Whites on the road. When did the NBA switch? When did they go from you wear the color at home to the white on the road? It used to be the other way around. Like watching Boston wear the green at home was odd to me. And I know they've done it for a couple years, but when was the actual switch?
I don't remember, but 2K, I feel like NBA 2K had a lot to do with it.
Why do you say that?
Because we did it in 2K all the time. I would wear dark jerseys at home. I'd wear different colorways. We just switched the jerseys up all the time in 2K.
I wouldn't let you wear the Laker jerseys unless they were at home and it was a Sunday when you and I were playing each other.
Well, we probably wouldn't play video games and we'd probably fight. Says a lot. We had NBA 2K jerseys. We did what we want. That's what the whole point of video games are for.
Yeah, but okay, but this isn't video games.
You
want to
be a white guy, traditionalist? Oh, you got to wear white at home or I'm dropping the PlayStation controller.
Shut up.
Well, drop the PlayStation controller. You don't have to play.
No, hear me out here.
Just saying.
It's the Boston Celtics. They should be wearing white jerseys at the Garden.
It's a different day and age, man.
Like the Yankees
hockey
don't
switched.
Wear...
Hey, it's London. Didn't hockey switch?
Yeah, they did the reverse.
Hockey switched. They used to wear white at home, and then they said, you know what? We're going to wear the dark jerseys at home.
Yeah, but when did that become a thing? Are they just trying to copy football?
No, I don't know. It became a thing within the last 10 years, 12 years.
Call me an old head all you want, and I'll wear it. Believe me, I will. I'll wear it. I'm a traditionalist, and I always thought that the whites at home was a clean look for everyone in the league.
Yeah, well, they switched it for like a decade. So you know what? I love that.
It makes me very uncomfortable. It does.
No, see, we couldn't play video games. If you really did that?
I was going to say,
no, because I don't know whether you're joking or not, you're about to get me fired up. You would have been kicked out of my house.
I would have smoked you in in Dreamcast back in the day.
No, you wouldn't have. You would have got destroyed.
Played that all day.
So did we.
I played with the Jailblazers. Oh, my God. Bonzi Wells was unstoppable with the turbo dunks.
I'd just go Iverson on you and just get you the rack all day long. He was
George
so quick.
McKee?
Yeah, absolutely. They had Aaron McKee. Aaron McKee and George Lynch.
George Lynch, yeah. Eric Snow.
All right, Bobby in Los Altos. He's got some memories. He's been on the hole for a while.
Hey, Bobby.
Let's get to Bobby in Los Altos, man. Memories for Clay Thompson. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Actually, I'm on the 5, and I just passed your Vontae and Spadoni's favorite place on earth, Lathrop. So the skies were blue and sunny, and we got the French camp that got all cloudy, and now I'm in Stockton. But hey,
real quick, Bobby, Lathrop. You see those homes out there on the lakefront property? The lakefront properties. Oh my gosh.
I'm sure it's amazing. I'm on the 5. I don't think they're touching the 5.
Okay, all right. I thought you were going to drive. I thought you were going to get off the freeway, stop by the In-N-Out out there, and go tour later.
In the words of Adrian Peterson, when Vontae seen that house, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
Anna, we're in trouble.
I seen him throw that ball. I was like, oh, my God.
I might move out to Lathrop, man. This seems quiet, peaceful, good school system.
Backyard.
I ain't got to worry. I know every guy in the neighborhood, when baby Chaz gets older, so I know what's what. Go ahead, Bobby.
What?
Yeah, I would say peaceful is probably a good word for Lathrop. Hey, so this is what I want to say. You've had a lot of guests that talk great, not to dismiss anything that Clay has done for the organization, but as it relates to this point in time right now, I think it's a very interesting game for a couple of reasons. One is, at this point in time, I feel like as a fan at least, Buddy Hield is a better offensive, defensive, and happier Clay than Klay was last year. So it's an interesting game because we get to send off Klay, or not send him off, but say appreciation and thank you, but also not feel sort of a longing or wanting that he was still here. And I'll be psychologically, I'll be interested how Steph and Dre play, because I think subconsciously they might feel a little bit guilt, like, hey, we're still here, and they kind of let you go. So for Klay, at the end of the day, I think what matters to him is, because I'm the same way, you try to play all chill on the outside, but you hold grudges, maybe you're a little bit of passive aggressive when you don't really want to be, but that's just how you're built. He just needs to make sure he has a better game than Buddy Hield. Because if Buddy Hield goes off tonight, I don't know if Clay's going to recover from this game.
I think he'll be A-OK if he struggles and Buddy Hield has a good game. I think he'll be fine moving forward. The Buddy Hield game within the game.
Oh, you best
believe it's going to wreck Klay.
Well, there's going to be people that are going to be looking for a one half sample to validate the decision.
I'm already well aware what's going to happen tomorrow, you know, if Buddy Hield goes crazy. Listen to the point, and maybe I'll call in sick tomorrow.
Look.
Clean it up, Auntie.
Both players can have a good year on their respective teams and both be good additions for their teams. Right now, Buddy's been an excellent addition for the Warriors. Having not watched the Mavs close enough, it's hard for me to know, 10 games in, how they're viewing Klay. I don't know.
Yeah, they're still trying to figure it out. It wouldn't surprise me at one point if Klay came off the bench for Dallas and gave him some fire, because right now their bench is lacking in Dallas, Texas. Their bench doesn't have the same firepower. What if he came off the bench in Dallas and got us 30 minutes? It's possible down in Dallas. Now, would that be an indictment? I don't get why, and I think Kuminga's proving this right now. Now, granted, everybody wants to start. I get it. It's not some sweeping indictment on your game.
Well, I actually like the term reserve as opposed to bench, off the bench. I think coming off the bench means like I'm barely playing. Means...
I like first five instead of starting five.
Yes, I agree.
First five. Hey, here's our first five on the floor. But, people make a big deal about it, and I get it. I understand.
Luke,
but I'm looking
Longley
at,
was a starter and, didn't necessarily...
Six man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine. You telling me he wasn't important to those Bulls teams? But I'm looking at their bench right now. Dwight Powell, Prosper, obviously Lively, and you have Dinwiddie. And you got, I believe it's Jaden Hardy.
Game of one-on-one, Caris LeVert versus Dinwiddie. Who wins?
I don't know.
Because they very much remind me of each other. I don't know why. I put them in the same bucket. I'm getting buckets off the bench.
But Dallas may have to make a shift in their lineup to add more firepower for their second unit. Let Kyrie and Luka Doncic go crazy in the starting five, in the first five, and then you shift Klay Thompson to the bench.
Skepticism with Dallas acquiring Klay Thompson was very simple. It had nothing to do with offense. They're all going to figure it out offensively. It's defensively, and that's the number one thing. And maybe I'm overrating defense. I'm skeptical of Kyrie, Luka, and Klay Thompson coexisting defensively with 6 minutes to go in a game. I just think you have to have two very, very, very good erasers alongside those three liabilities.
And they're gonna figure that out. However, the Dallas Mavericks are built for the playoffs.
Sure,
they're in a series. Luka's going to win a game by himself. Kyrie's going to win a game by himself. You're going to get a Klay game at some point. They're a dangerous team in a postseason series. In the regular season, they're going to be an up-and-down team because you never know what you're going to get from Luka.
Probably right.
You never know, Kyrie's balling right now. But even the other night in Denver, that was Kyrie's game. Kyrie's hooping. He had 43, and then Luka wants to take the last shots because he wants to be the hero. No, defer. You still got to defer a little bit, Luka. Defer to Kyrie.
Luka, Mr. Overindulgence,
in the playoffs.
Give me a break.
In the playoffs, they're a matchup nightmare in the short series. So anyway, 888-957-95. Wow, we're at fast five already. Damn, it's 9:50. Klay Day.
Starting for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
You know, the trigger finger of Spadoni is very itchy. Very itchy. He loves that trigger
Almost
finger.
As itchy as Joe Lacob's? Or Brian Windhorse?
Brian Windhorse. Windhorse.
What? What's wrong with Brian Windhorse?
Nothing.
What's wrong with Brian Windhorse? He's a journalist.
No, he's a great journalist.
Yeah.
Great journalist.
Insider.
And he made some great sense. He goes, the way we cover the NBA needs to change.
Yeah.
We need more storytelling. Stop narrative-based BS that we all like to do.
A friend of my friend is my friend. So he's friends with Friedel, and now we're boys. Could you imagine me, you guys, Friedel, and Wendy just messing up some House of Prime Rib?
Are you guys still in the group chat together?
No.
No, that's dead.
I removed myself from the group thread.
No way.
Shasky has left the building.
No way.
Is that the most obnoxious thing you can do?
You didn't leave. Oh, I'd leave group threads.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I do. That, if I don't like the way it's going, the tenor of it, and I say, hey, I don't like this group thread, I'm out. I got no problem leaving the conversation.
What's Friedel up to? We got to get him on. Is he still with Odyssey?
That's a good point.
What is going on with him?
The bonus title?
Yeah, that's one of the most disrespectful things I've ever heard in my life. No, it's not true. There's no bonus title. You win a title or not. The bonus title.
He knows. It was such a big brother thing to say, right, too. To just piss off the little brother.
I
love Friedel.
Look, I love Friedel, too. He's but a lot best. Of his predictions when it came to the Golden State Warriors did not go well for him.
Wait, time out.
David Fizdale even had to check him about Andrew Wiggins being a fit here.
Where is Fizdale? What's he up
to? He's an assistant with the Phoenix Suns.
God, what a life. What's an assistant make in the NBA?
Probably a lot of money.
God.
Probably a lot more than you and I.
Money, money,
so, Friedel, and I love you, Friedel. Put the bonus. Did we say that about the San Antonio Spurs when they beat the Heat?
I do.
Oh, it's a bonus title for Tim Duncan. No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
It's the
you
bonus title.
Said it.
It's
no, you never title. Said it.
It's the Kawhi
you
Leonard bonus title.
Never said it. Is LeBron James Mickey Mouse championship a bonus championship?
We call it the Sabonis title.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. If you leave a group thread, you're probably a tool. Why not? What if there's a lot of things in a group thread that just, you don't want?
It's just the, like, ultimate backhanded slap in the face, like, of all time.
Because you can easily just mute it.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
All you have to do is just mute it.
I don't want to mute it. I just leave it.
Okay.
Wait, because it's I get fine. All these notifications, and I see, wait, there's 150 notifications.
The
then
king
I click it,
has left I, the group chat.
Yeah, I leave.
That's the notification by Apple.
Hey, I leave. Call me a tool all you want to.
Do you think, like, Steph, Clay, and Dre were in one, and soon as Clay signed, it's Clay
and
Thompson.
Like, well, that was how they found out that Clay was leaving. All of a sudden, right. He just left the chat.
Deuces.
Like, there you go.
You know, that's
and they added Buddy Hield right after.
And then, right. Here's the best part. Steiny's on that group thread, and months later, he's like, so I guess Steph left, huh?
Hey, listen.
Oh, I mean, Clay.
It happened with us. Bowser left the station, and he left the group chat.
Oh, that was a mic drop, too.
Layford left the KCPS, and he left the group thread.
I'm not going to lie. There are people that have left the station over time, and I hit unfollow.
Oh, wow.
Then deleted their number.
Oh, wow. Damn, I don't go that far.
Damn, the number?
I don't go that far.
Might come in handy one day.
I mean,
hey,
I'll leave
when
the group
I delete your number, I feel like I delete you from my life.
Wow.
Show that bridge burner Shasky.
Now, we need to dive into this. Is it okay to leave a group chat? Is it okay? Are you a tool for leaving a group chat? See, I don't think so. I've left a couple group chats.
Chat.
I left our baseball, fantasy baseball. They deep me in, and karma bit them all in the ass. Bit them all in the ass. All the players that I had a plan, and the plan came to fruition, and all those players I gave away had down years. I want my money.
But they tried to stick me to
it. I want my money now. So you know what I did? I left the fantasy baseball group thread.
Is this a King's Tale? What is this?
No, it's Bonte Hilltale.
Is this Guru Gripes?
I want to dive into this later in the week. Is it okay to leave a group thread? So-and-so leaves a group conversation.
Well, if it's all your homies, like, yeah, you just got clowned and you left.
Or a person with an Android starts it and you can never leave.
Oh, Porter, my cousin, yeah. It's the worst. But now we can share. Now we can share.
Maybe we should start a group text with Steiny and Goo, who are coming up next, live from Chase Center.
Well, Steiny never partakes in a group thread. I know that.
Unless it's on his terms.
I know that from experience. What I miss? Well, we were texting you what you missed, Steiny.
Well, Evan told me he needs his help at 8:30 every single morning, so he's clearly chiming in.
Oh,
I love you, Steiny!
That's not right. That's not right. That's not right. That's not right at all.
I mean, where are we going today, guys? What's hitting you?
See, Steiny, see, that's your boy, Steiny. Apparently, Steiny and Shasky are great friends, but he's always the one taking shots at Steiny.
Dalton Connect.
He's full of baloney.
The one player he watched in college
Go
basketball.
Tulane.
All right, that's it. Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity at Home Article. You get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Steiny, you're more like me than you think you are.